I surrender all. I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender.
Just as we have sung, let that be the attitude of our hearts as we have come before the Lord today. Lord, we surrender ourselves before you once again, Father. Father, to you belong all power. To you belong all glory. To you belong all adoration. To you belong all praise. Father, out of the mouths of babes and infants, Father, we have seen you ordain praise yet again. Great things you do in our midst, O Lord God. And yet again, we surrender ourselves at your feet once again, Lord Jesus. Lord, that you will speak to us tonight, today as we have come here. Every expectant heart, O Lord God. Lord, that you will reveal your heart through your word in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for this opportunity once again you have given. You have gathered us, O Lord God, as a hen gathers her chicks. You have gathered us as an eagle gathers its young ones. Thank you for this opportunity, O Lord God, once again that you have given us. Father, we bless your holy name. In Jesus' mighty name, we have asked and we have prayed. Amen and amen. You may be seated in God's presence. Please welcome your neighbor. Tell him you are welcome to your Father's house. Amen. Amen. All right, we have very short time. We have only about 3 hours left, so let's... I'm checking how many of us are awake. Right. Let's open our Bibles to Mark 11. The book of Mark, chapter 11. And verses 12 to 14. If you are there, I want you to say amen.
Amen.
Half of us are there. That also amen. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, let's go. One to go, Mark 11, 12 to 14. Now the next day, when they had come out from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. In response, Jesus said to it, "Let no one eat fruit from you ever again." And his disciples heard it. Let's pray. Father, your word, O Lord God, is a two-edged sword. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, your word says. It's alive and active. Father, and it pierces through the soul and the spirit between the bone and the marrow, and it exposes our innermost thoughts and attitudes, your word says, O Lord God. So, Lord, let your word do its work in our midst once again. And as your word does that, O Lord God, let your word build us up once again. Let your word, Father, form us, shape us unto your likeness in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Today, by the grace of God, we would be looking at the topic, learning from the fig tree. Lessons from the fig tree. Now, if you notice this passage, this happened before the Lord was going to overthrow the tables in the temple. Okay, and he goes from Bethany, and he sees this fig tree, and the Bible says he was hungry. The Lord was hungry. Now, you've heard the word hangry? Anyone hangry? Yeah? where your emotions, mostly negative, come because of your hunger, right? But here, notice, when the Lord was saying this, when he was cursing the fig tree over there, he was not doing this out of a hangry emotion, no. He was never disconnected from the will of the Father, even during his hunger. He comes, he observes this tree, and then he says what we read. But let's observe why the Lord said something like this. If you look at Luke 4, we are very familiar with that passage when Jesus was hungry, when he was tempted in the wilderness, right? When Satan said, ask these stones to become bread for you because you are hungry. And he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So this is God who knows what is hunger and who knows how to respond to hunger. Now, fast forward, if you look in John, when he was going through the village of Samaria, he was hungry, he sat by a well, and at that point of time, he ministered to a Samaritan woman. He told her all her life story, and she went and started spreading the news about him over there. When the disciples came bringing food, the disciples asked him, did somebody give you food? And he said, my meat is to do the will of the Father. I find strength in doing the will of the Father even when I'm hungry. So when Jesus was cursing the fig tree over there, there was something more deep that he wanted us to know. It was not an emotional response, neither was it a frustrated response. The Lord wants us to learn something from what he told the fig tree. Let's turn to Genesis 1, verse 11. For a tree to bear fruit, it was always the will of the Father. Genesis 1, verse 11, then God said, let earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth. And it was so. When God created the tree, he already had the fruit in it, the seed in it. It was God's will always for fruitfulness. And if you look in John 15:8, sister, I think it is the next slide. Yes, John 15:8, through fruit bearing, God is glorified in a disciple. By this, my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Now, if you look at it from the text, it might seem as if Jesus was being unfair to the fig tree, right? Because if you go back to that verse, on seeing afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see perhaps if he would find something on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. So now, if I was the fig tree, I would ask Jesus back, excuse me, it is not my season to produce fruit. Why are you cursing me for something that I cannot do? Right? And don't we think Jesus is smarter than that? Right? Let's look at the text again. See, what happens is a fig tree had two or three seasons of crop. Especially, now if you remember, this was the Passover time. Okay? Which means it was late March or early April. And a fig tree had two to three seasons of crop. It would have the early fig, okay, which would ripen around June. Then it would have the summer fig and the winter fig or the untimely fig. Okay, these are the
Sometimes it would be only two, sometimes it would be three. There were three seasons generally for the fig tree to bring fruit. Now, in that portion, in that part of the Mount of Olives, in the eastern side, if a tree bore leaves, okay, normally the tree would bear leaves towards summer to extend shade to the people. That was the beauty of that. If a tree bore leaves early, it could bear leaves early over there. But the other part is, before the leaves would be formed, there would be early figs formed. Early figs. They are not the summer fruit. They are the early figs. They will ripe during June. But at the time when Jesus was there, if a fig tree had leaves, it means that it could have had the fruit on the tree before the leaves were formed. Are we clear? Before the leaves were formed, the tree would have fruit. Now, if, peradventure, the tree was having leaves and having no fruit, then the whole year that tree would not produce any fruit. That whole year, that tree would be fruitless. That was the nature of the fig tree. And so, when Jesus looked at this tree from afar, he saw a lot of leaves over there. And he felt that there could be early fruit. Are we clear? What fruit? I didn't hear you. You are late. I didn't hear you. Yes, early fruit. That is what he was looking for. He was not looking for the ripe summer fruit or the ripe fig fruit, he was looking for the early fruit. And when he didn't find it there, that is when he cursed it. And so what do we learn from that? What do we learn from the fig tree over there? You see, the leaves of the fig tree that Jesus saw, it had an appearance of bearing fruit. It looked as if it could bear fruit, but actually there was nothing. Like some of the promises that we hear during election, right? We will do this, we will do that, it will look all green and lush. But 1 year down, 3 months down, 4 months down, no fruit. This was what that leaf signified. Now, having the appearance of the illusion, the fig leaves created the illusion of fruit that the tree did not bear. Now, it also depicts a substitute covering that stifles the need for repentance. Now, let's rewind a little and let's go to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 7. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 7. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. This is Adam and Eve after having eaten the fruit. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. You see, one of the earliest mention of leaves in the Bible comes from the fig tree. Before that, you will see fruit and all in Genesis, but leaves comes here. And there is a reason. You see, with sin comes shame. Before repentance, before anything else, the first thing that comes along with sin is shame. If you have observed, I would use a more civil term, if you have observed how bribe is being passed, how many of us have seen it? Right? It would be either under the table, it will be like this. A lot of things will be, nobody takes it in open. Why? Because there is something wrong about it, and therefore there needs to be a small covering so that it can be done.
For Adam and Eve, when they sinned, what happened? There was a shame, and that shame evoked a covering, a need for a covering. So what did they do? What they found with, they knew that they were naked. So what they could get their hands on with, this was the fig leaves. They took all their efforts to sew and cover themselves. Sin brings shame. Shame evokes a need for a covering. Now, if you look at Genesis 9, verse 23, the stories of Noah, after the ark having landed, Noah having offered the sacrifice, Noah gets a little tipsy, all right? And he's actually naked, he's unclothed. And look at what happens over there. Verse 23, but Shem and Japheth took a garment, laid it on both their shoulders, and went backward and covered the nakedness of their father. Their faces were turned away, and they did not see their father's nakedness. Whenever there is a shame, there is a need for a covering. There is a need for a covering. But the danger of that is, once the covering comes, the guilt that sin brings becomes abated. It no longer is something that pricks you much. Okay, I have managed this one. Now with this, I can move forward. The danger of covering sin is that guilt becomes abated. God allows guilt so that repentance can be produced. For Adam and Eve, they covered themselves such that they looked okay between them. But if you look at Genesis 3, verse 8, they hid themselves from the Lord. They could not go before God with their shame, even if it was covered. Sin brings shame. And fig leaves covered their shame. Fig leaf is a picture of the coverings that we bring to deal with sin. The coverings that we bring to deal with sin. If you look at Job 31, verse 33. Job 31, verse 33. And Job says, if I have covered my transgressions as Adam by hiding my iniquity in my bosom, which means to say, if I had just superficially covered my sin, then he goes on to make many claims about his righteous standing with God. And one of them is saying, I have not covered my iniquity like Adam. If you notice, when the children of Job partied, he did not cover it. Ah, that was okay. No. He went and made sacrifices there, saying, perhaps my children would have sinned against God. It was that kind of an attitude that kept him as a man who was righteous before God, shunning evil. The danger of covering sin is that we lose the fear of God, and sin becomes our next door neighbor. Adam and Eve covered their shame from the world, but had to hide themselves from God. That covering was insufficient for them to appear before God. Now, I look as if I'm giving you all bad news here. No, there is good news. There is good news. Because what man covers, God clothes. Man can only cover himself. God is a God who clothes us. Amen. God is a God who clothes us. Let's look at Genesis 3, verse 21. Genesis 3, verse 21.
Also, for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics of skin and clothed them. What Adam and Eve did with fig leaves, God paid the price with blood. If they had to be clothed with skin, an animal had to be killed there. There you see the gospel. God clothed. Clothing means, in that word, it's a wraparound. It's not the fashion clothing. It's a complete wrap around. Isaiah 61, verse 10. Isaiah 61, verse 10. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. Will somebody follow me in reading? Come on. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation. Hallelujah. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. Let's pause there. That is how God is able to cover. That is how God is able to cover. Let's look at one more instance. Luke 8, verse 35. It talks about a madman, a demon-possessed man who used to roam around naked in the burial grounds. Nobody could come to him. Nobody could tame him. Nobody could chain him. But when he encountered Jesus, you see what the Bible describes over there in verse 35. Then they went to see what had happened and came to Jesus and found the man from whom demons had departed sitting at the feet of Jesus. Look at that word over there. Clothed and in his right mind. God brings new life with clothing. With new life always comes clothing. You and I need not go before God with shame when we have borne fruit of repentance. When we go with fig leaves, we appear before him in shame. And this was the fruit that Jesus was looking for. The early fruit, not the ripe fruit, the early fruit. I'm going a bit ahead, but let me come back. What does fig leaves mean today? What does fig leaf mean today? Sister, today's fig leaves. Yes, next slide, yes. What are today's fig leaves? Let's go to Luke 18, chapter 10, sorry, verse 10 to 14. Luke 18, 10 to 14, and I will read. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. And this is what he says, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And look at what the Lord says. I tell you, this man went down just to his house justified rather than the other. You see the picture of fig leaves over there? The fig leaves over there. fig leaf of defense that doesn't stand before the Lord. The next one, I fast twice a week. Fast seven also, no problem. As long as you afflict your soul in fasting. Fasting always accompanies an inward looking, an inward searching. When the word you feed, instead of what you feed the word of God, and you allow the word to search your heart. Here the man says, I fast twice a week. And then he says, I give a tithe of, he puts a condition over there, all that I possess, I have given you 10%. Now let's go back. Let's go back to the origin of tithe. What does it say? Genesis chapter 15, sorry, Genesis 14, verse 19. I will read from verse 18. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought bread and wine. He was the priest of God Most High. And he blessed him and said, this is Abraham or Abram. Blessed be Abram of God Most High. What is the next part? Description of God Most High. Possessor of heaven and earth. God owns everything, including what you have in your hand. So what I possess is not my own. When I give tithe, I am telling God, you own everything. That is the sign of tithing. I am a steward of what you have given me. You are the owner of everything. And here, this man was bringing that as his fig leaf. God, you see how sacrificial I am to you? And God would be saying, hey, that's mine. Relative virtue. Fasting without affliction of the spirit. Tithing without yielding ownership. Some of the examples of today's fig leaves. Another example. A covering that fulfills its purpose in adorning this earthly house. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 5, verse 1 to 4. Paul talks in all his affliction. He says this, after having talked about it in chapter 4, in chapter 5 he begins, for I know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Paul says, we know that this body, if it is destroyed, we have a better clothing. And then he says, for in this, which is in this body we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation which is from heaven. Now, is that our confession? How much care do we take of these bodies such that we don't go into persecution, we don't have trouble here, we don't have trouble there? Let's be very careful, right? Now, I'm not saying we should neglect our bodies. Of course, our body is the temple of the living God, but remember, that is perishable because we have a greater temple, just as we heard. The heavenly Jerusalem is waiting for us. How long will we hold on to this fig leaf? And say, no, I need to take care of this. I need to look a little more younger. I need to do this a little more. For how long? That's why Moses said, Lord, teach us to have a heart of wisdom. Teach us to number our days so that we may have a heart of wisdom. When we are so satisfied with this garment of flesh, that we don't desire the garment of glory that God is willing to give. Adam held on to a fig leaf. God gave him a better garment. God is more than willing to give us more glorious garment. Sorry, I didn't hear.
Amen.
That is your portion in Jesus' name. God is willing and more than willing to clothe you from above. Fig leaves, today's fig leaves, what are you holding? Ask your neighbor, what are you holding, brother? What are you holding, sister? Which fig leaf is that? The other aspect of the fig tree, what do we learn? What was Jesus looking for? I just spoke about it in a little. He was looking for that early fruit. The early fruit. Let's open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 3, verse 8. The Bible says he went to see, in Mark, he went to see if perhaps he would find something in it. Matthew chapter 3, verse 8, easy memory verse. Therefore, difficult to do. Easy memory verse, difficult to do except by the Spirit of God. In the NLT it says, prove by the way you live that you have repented of your sins and turned to God. Prove by the way you live that you have repented of your sins and you have turned to God. This is the fruit that Jesus is looking for in you and I. And he shall find it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Repentance is not just an action, it's an attitude. It's an attitude. It is initiated by God, but it is fulfilled in yours and my choices. The choices that you and I make, that is where fruitfulness comes. Now, if you look at Jeremiah chapter 24, it talks about the early fig. Jeremiah chapter 24, verse 2, the Lord asked Jeremiah, Jeremiah, what do you see? And Jeremiah said in verse 2, one basket had very good figs, like the figs that are first ripe, and the other basket had very bad figs, which could not be eaten. They were so bad. And in verse 4, this is the word of the Lord for us. Let's read it together. Again, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, like these good figs, so will I acknowledge those who are carried away captive from Judah, whom I have sent out of this place for their own good into the land of Chaldeans. Verse 6, for I will set my eyes on them for good, and I will bring them back to this land. I will build them and not pull them down, and I will plant them and not pluck them. Then I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, for they shall return to me with their whole heart. This is what God was looking for. Are you willing to return to him with your whole heart? Now, the journey was not easy for those people. They had to go to Babylon, but there was a prophecy over there. And if you look at the life of Daniel, he fulfilled that to its fullness. You see the example of God's hand upon a repentant heart in the life of Daniel. God's hand, which saved him from the mouth of the lions, which excluded him from every form of whatever conspiracy came against him. Why? Because his heart was right and whole where it had to be. That's why the psalmist says, Lord, grant me an undivided heart. For the fruit of repentance to manifest, one has to walk in the way of repentance. One has to walk in the way of repentance. Let's look at Luke chapter 3, the same passage when John the Baptist is speaking from Luke's perspective. Luke chapter 3, 10 to 14. So the people asked him, saying, what shall we do then? He answered and said to them, he who has two tunics, let him give to him who has none, and he who has food, let him do likewise. Then the tax collectors also came to be baptized and said to him, teacher, what shall we do? And he said, collect no more than what is appointed for you. Likewise, the soldiers asked him, saying, and what shall we do? So he said to them, do not intimidate anyone or accuse falsely, and be content with your wages. Now, these people came to be baptized. They were repenting, and they were asking, what next should we do to bear fruit worthy of repentance, to prove that I have repented from my sin and turned to God? What should I do? The early fruit, how should it be? How should my life be? And John was asking them to make a series of choices in their individual areas of temptation. For the people at that point of time, two tunics was a luxury, was a comfort, not a luxury, was a comfort, sorry. It was a comfort. Two tunics kept them warm in the night. Remember, they were under Roman occupation. So anything they had in extra was a comfort. And John was saying, instead of comfort, choose compassion. How do I live a life worthy of repentance? Instead of comfort, choose compassion. Then the tax collectors came. And what was John telling them? Choose honesty over manipulation. Choose honesty over manipulation. Nobody can ask you the account except the Romans. And to them, if you give whatever you give, the rest is yours. Only God sees. You can make an adjustment with him. That's not what John was saying. John was saying, take only that which you are allowed to. Choose honesty over manipulation. And the Roman soldiers, when they came to him, he said, choose contentment over oppression. They had the authority, but instead, choose to be content with what you have and don't oppress others to gain what you don't have. Now, if sin begets shame, repentance begets a confident expectation of God. If sin begets shame, repentance begets a confident expectation of God. How do I say that? Look at the next verse in Luke chapter 3, verse 15, and I will read it from the NLT. Everyone was expecting the Messiah to come soon. Everyone was expecting the Messiah to come soon. Why? Because their hearts were right with God and they were expecting him. Repentance creates in us an expectation of God. Not expectation from God, what I can get. No, sorry. More than that, the fellowship with God. That is what repentance brings in. I will close. In expectation of the early fig, the Lord is tarrying. Just as we are expecting the Lord to come when we have a heart of repentance, we are calling out, Maranatha, Lord, come soon. You know what the Lord is doing? The Lord is delaying. Not as some count as lateness. No, no, no. The Lord is holding himself back. Now, I talked about only one fruit, the early fig. There are two others, the summer fig and the late fig. Both are pictures, the summer fig of judgment and the early and the out of turn or the winter fig of the end times. The Lord tarries concerning the summer fig and the untimely fig, so that the early fruit, the early fig, the fruit of repentance is fully formed in us. Now you understand why the Lord was not demanding something that was not possible from the fig tree. The Lord does not exact a demand upon you and me which you and I cannot fulfill. If you look at 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I want us to rise up. The Lord has spoken to you and I in this short time, and He's asking you and I today, are you bearing fruit worthy of repentance? Does your life prove that you have turned away from your sins and turned to the living God? And the Lord is tarrying so that this early fruit is formed in you and I. What is that fig leaf that you and I are holding on to? Take this moment and surrender before Him. Peradventure, the Spirit of God is laying in your heart anything that you are holding on to and saying, Lord, this is what I believe qualifies me before you. I want you to lay that down before the Lord if His word has come to you, and repent before Him and say, Lord, you are Lord and my Master. You are my Savior. I surrender myself before you once again. Take charge over my life and let my life be a pleasing sacrifice unto you, a pleasing aroma unto you. Let me be found fruitful in your presence always. Why don't you take that as a prayer and bring it before God? For He has assured us that though the mountains may depart and the hills be removed, But my kindness shall not depart from you, nor shall my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord who has mercy on you. The Lord who is merciful, who is slow to anger, who pities us as a father pities his own children, he is waiting for you to turn to him. Why are you holding yourself back today? Surrender yourself to him once again, for he is your father and you are his beloved. Why don't you surrender yourself once again to him and ask him to take charge over your life, that you may bear fruit to the master's pleasure, in Jesus' name.
Continue to talk to God. Submit yourself unto him. The Bible says, whoever conceals their sin does not prosper, but the one who confess and renounce them find mercy. Lord, these are the area of my life that I need to be touched. Let me find your mercy. What are you holding on to? God is ready to rescue you and clothe you so that your life will be fruitful. You need to bear the fruit of repentance. Talk to God. Help me, Lord. Confess those sins that are creating barrier between you and the mercy of God. This is the time. God is here. He's touching your mind. He's touching your life. He's ready to accept you so that you'll be fruitful in his vineyard. Take that decision. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Heavenly Father, we bless your name and thank you, Lord, for the wonderful message we have had this afternoon. We give you all the praises and adoration. We bless your only name for reminding us that we need to confess our sin before you. We bless you, we glorify you for bringing us this message this afternoon so that we can continue to be fruitful in your vineyard. Father, we lift your name up, we glorify you. Blessed be your holy name in Jesus' name. Lord, we ask for your spirit, that your spirit will continue to guide us, lead us, direct us, direct all our paths, all our actions, all our utterances, so that we will remain firmly and fruitful in your vineyard, in the mighty name of Jesus. We want to thank you, Lord, for your son that you have used for us this day, more anointing, in the mighty name of Jesus. Bless him. Bless the work of his hand. Bless his family. Bless everything that surrounds him in the mighty name of Jesus. Bless the church of God in the mighty name of Jesus. May your name be glorified in Jesus' name. Thank you, everlasting Father. We commit the rest of our program this year into your hand. This is the season of program. All our programs, they are in your hand. Take perfect control in Jesus' name. That we shall succeed in all our programs, remain for this year, in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, everlasting Father. As we go to our different homes, let your presence go with us in Jesus' name. When we come back next week, it shall be testimony to the glory of God in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. December is coming. Christmas is coming. Father, give us Christmas gift in the mighty name of Jesus. Right from now, continue to bless us in Jesus' name. All our journey between now and December, Father, perfect it and let your name be glorified in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, everlasting Father, for in Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Before we share the grace, the newcomer just outside this door, couple of our brethren will be waiting to receive you. Shall we share the grace in fellowship? And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. Surely, God's goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. God bless you. Do have a wonderful week ahead.